How many brought your Bible with you today? Let's make our confession today. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God, and I'll never be the same, never, 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 in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Say it again, hallelujah. One more time, hallelujah. Woo, yeah. Amen, amen. God is good to us. Open the Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, or if you don't open your Bible there, then touch your screen until it gets there. 8:35. Romans 8. I always have everything on my iPad here that I talked to you about. Also got it in my book that I typed up and printed out. But I have this recurring dream that I'm coming to church and my iPad falls and breaks. No, I think about a pastor sometimes they have that. I said, what are they going to do if their battery goes dead? What are they going to do if they drop that thing? Then the service is over, I guess, isn't it? I don't know. But no, you better have it, whether it's on the iPad or whether it's on this paper, you better have it in your heart. That's where it's supposed to be. In your heart. Amen? Amen. How many's got it in your heart? Say amen. Say, I receive it. I love that. I love that. I receive it. All right. That's from chapter 8. I'm happy. Anybody else happy? Are you really? Are you really happy? Let the world be the sad ones, and let Christians be filled with joy. Amen? I am filled with joy, aren't you? Amen. Yes, I am. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Let me just give you a little background on this. When Paul is talking about all these things, he's not out here in la-la land somewhere. When he's talking about these things, who's separated from the love of Christ, he's not tribulation. You know why? Because he's been through some. He's had some tribulation. Distress, he's, you know, had some distresses that came his way. He's had some persecution. He talked about he served God, whether he was full or whether he was hungry. He's been through some of this famine things that are going on. In fact, he was collecting money through several of the years to send back to the poor saints of Jerusalem because of the famine that's in the land. So he knows what it is, or nakedness, or out in peril. He's been in shipwreck. He's had the serpent bite him. All these things. He's had people. He had 40 Jewish people who said, we're going to shave our heads and go on a fast, and we're not going to eat or let hair grow on us again until we kill Paul. Imagine that. And some of us just get upset when somebody says a little something about us. What'd you do to him? That was terrible, Pastor. What happened? They unliked me on Facebook. Oh, okay. That's your big problem? Somebody unliked you on Facebook? My. What if you had 40 folks that shaved their head and said they ain't eating another bite until you're dead? So he's been through some of this. These things that he's talking about. He said, and then he's got our sword with question mark, because I'm sure in Paul's mind he knows that he's about to give himself on the altar and his head is going to be taken away by the Roman government for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But even though that might do some severance to his body, that is not going to separate him from the love of God. None of these things are. None of these things are. Verse 30, he said, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul says, I'm just a sheep in the Lord's service. I'm the sheep of his pasture. I'll do what he wants me to do, go where he wants me to go. If it costs me this, if it costs me that, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to do what God's called me to do. In my mind, he said, I'm killed all the day long. It doesn't matter. I've already died to myself, and I'm alive in Christ, is what he's saying. And so whatever Christ wants to happen in his life, that's going to happen. And he says these words, verse 37, concerning being separated from the love of Christ. Any of these things, will it do it? No. No. Somebody say no. You need to make a decision that come what may, that whatever happens, that you're not going to be separated from the love of Christ. That you won't let persecution separate you. Just because if something turns bad in your life, or you go through some difficulty, or you hit a challenge, or you know, a block in the road, you're not just going to give up on God and say, well, I guess God doesn't love me anymore. I'm just turned back to the world. No, no, don't let anything like that separate. Make that decision. No, nothing's going to separate me from the things of God. Preachers used to say years ago, if I have to sit on the bank and drink branch water, as they'd call it, you know, I'm still not going to be separated from the love of God. So it's good to have things going good and to be blessed, and I am, and I thank God for all those blessings that I have today, and you as well, I'm sure. But it doesn't matter if we had, you know, $100 or $10 million. It makes no difference. It's all the same. The love of God is still the same. And don't let money be an issue with you that would cause you to be separated from God, or hard times or difficulty. If your family likes you, if they can't stand you, you know, whatever the case might be. If you got friends at work that love you and support you, or friends at work, they're always against you. It doesn't matter. Don't let any of those things separate you from the love of Christ. Paul says, no, for him, no, these things are not going to separate me. No, verse 37 he says. And he says, in all these things, look at them again, distress, tribulation, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How many knows you're more than a conqueror? Say amen. We are more than a conqueror. I mean, and you've got to make some decisions in your life not to let these things come against you, not let yourself change based on the persecution of the world that would bring against you. Let me read this to you in Amplified Bible, verse 37. No, or yes, or yet, I'm sorry, yet amid all these things, we are made more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him that loved us. You will never, ever be a conqueror unless you fight a battle. The nature of conqueror is that you went into battle, faced an opposition, faced an adversary, and then you came out the winner. That's the only way to be a conqueror. Now, you can have a victorious lifestyle. You can have the blessings on God in a lot of ways in your life and just be living this great life. But to be a conqueror, you have got to have met the enemy and overcome and won against the enemy. And Paul says, in all these things, we are more than a conqueror. And I like that language because we live in a world today where people want to whine and cry and, you know, upset about all kind of things going on in their life and stuff happening to them and different things that you know, come against them in life and the different persecutions that they face and that kind of stuff. And, well, we're just barely going to make it and barely going to get by, and maybe we'll see our way through this, and maybe this will happen, and maybe that, and hopefully, and these kind of ideas and the way that they talk. But Paul doesn't just say we're a conqueror. He said we are more than a conqueror. Somebody say, I'm more than a conqueror. Say, I'm more than enough for any situation, every circumstance. Say, more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror. That conqueror makes the world mad. You want to make the devil mad, say, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. You and I, now listen, understand as I like to prep things because I don't want somebody to say something I didn't say. Understand as I prep things is this, is, you know, I'm talking about in Christ Jesus, we are more than a conqueror. Outside of Christ Jesus, you are a big loser. Amen? Not only have you lost, but you're going to keep on losing too. So I understand that. I understand that completely and fully do I understand that. But in Christ Jesus, not only am I a conqueror, but I'm more than a conqueror. I mean, if someone asks you to do something at the place of your employment or around your friends or different association you have, can you do it? Yes. Yeah, I can do it. Sure I can. That's gotten me in more trouble over the years than anything else I know about my whole life. Because I honestly believe I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And along the way, I had to do a whole lot of stuff. Now, some of that stuff I should have said, no, I'm going to let somebody else do it. Sheila finally talked me into doing a little bit of that recently and different things. And she was, well, I'll say, you know, we need to do some stuff around the house. She said, yeah, we do. And I said, well, when I get around to it, I'll get it done. Years ago, a fellow that I really liked, he gave me something. I still got it at home. But his name is Zig Ziglar, and he had a little round wooden thing that said around to it. It was around to it. And he said, keep it in your pocket. So you got around to it. Am I on planet Earth, Lord? I mean, are my jokes that bad? But no, and he gave it to you so nobody would have an excuse. You'd always have around to it. But I said, Sheila, I'm going to do that when we get around to it. She said, well, why don't we just pay somebody to do it? I said, pay somebody? Doing, doing. What'd you say, Sheila? Pay? Yeah, just pay. Okay, we'll pay somebody to do it. So we started rolling out the funds and paying people to do stuff. So anyway, it's a lot easier. A lot more fun to do that. But anyway, we are more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. I want you to think about that in your life, in the Realville, where I constantly say that I live. I live in Realville. Okay? And not related to Rickville, but I live in Realville. Okay. Could be. But I live in Realville. It's not a game. It's not something we look at a Bible scripture and say, oh, ain't that nice? And you go on and your problems and situations tearing you up, tearing you down. No. Realville. The things that the Bible teaches us and instructs us to do, those things will make you more than a conqueror. I am persuaded that as you put the Word of God into effect in your life, you can't help but be more than a conqueror. I just see it all through Scripture. Now then, so to think about that, let me start at a place today in talking about this. You're there in the book of Romans. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. And let me show you a basis where you got to start out to become more than a conqueror or to be more than a conqueror. Here's a baseline. It's a place where you start more than a conqueror. Here's where you start. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us? How many knows that God is for us? God is for us. God is on my side. Now, that's one reason I'm not against this kind of stuff, but I don't do it all the time. I don't get, in the car and, okay, Lord, I'm making this trip now. Lord, I would pray that you would keep me from here, going from here to wherever I'm going to Tennessee or riding up to North Carolina or going to Georgia. Lord, I wish you'd keep me and pray. Let me have a safe ride. I'm not going to tell you all that stuff is wrong to do that. But what I'm telling you is that's not something I do because I know as surely as I get in that car, God's going with me. It's just part of who I am because I've been worshiping and serving God all day long. It's not like I had to stop life and say, oh, let's pray a little prayer. Nothing wrong with praying a little prayer, but that's just not the way that I live. I live my life knowing that God is for me. And if he's for me, there ain't nothing that can be against me. And if God told me to go to North Carolina, I'm going to flat go to North Carolina. How about it? And he'll bring me back. Amen? He will. He'll bring me back to God's country in South Carolina. But anyway, and so God is for me. Doctor come up with a bad report. Well, that can't be. God's for me. How can that be when God's for me? Or you come up with a financial issue in your life. Well, how can that be? God's for me. I mean, that can't be. God is for me. He's not against me. And that financial situation will be against me. So that can't be. Circumstances you face in your life, in your marriage, and home, those kind of things that are going on like that in your life and different situations, why not always look at it as I'm going to win in this situation because God is on my side. And if God's be for me, there ain't nobody that can be against me. It doesn't matter. Line up the whole world. What does it matter? And we have Christians all the time walking around, ain't nobody love me. Don't nobody care about me. Or ain't nobody on my side. Nobody help me. What's that got to do with it? What has that got to do with it? When the Lord spoke to our hearts, Sheila and I, in September of 1982, to found this church, I didn't have nobody that I knew about that told me to do it. I had a number of people told me not to do it. I had a number of people said, I'm going to give you this many weeks, and you'll be wishing you hadn't did it. And I had some others said different things like that. If you don't do it, we'll let you do this. Well, we want you over here. We don't want you there. And so just because you feel like God wants you to do something doesn't mean that the whole world's going to jump on and rally behind you and say, let's go. In fact, I found that a lot of times when God wants you to do something, that there's a lot of people that ain't going to show up and ain't going to be around for whatever it is that God wanted you to do. And what you have to do is get it clear in your own mind and your own understanding and recognize who God is and that God's on your side. Well, in that same month of September, Sheila and I, we began to fast and pray. And on the three-day fast on a Saturday morning, on the third day of a fast, on a Saturday morning, God spoke to me to do exactly what I've been doing now all my life. That's why I did it. That's why I'm still doing it. And it makes no difference what people say. I do it because of what God told me to do. But I would not have had that conviction if I had not knew that God was on my side to do it. And then I just saw miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle open up to do what God told me to do. Well, if God's for you, all these other people that are against you, it's not going to do any good. They're fighting a losing battle. I mean, if somebody comes up against you, cusses you out, tell them, I feel sorry for you. Why is that? Because you're about to lose. You're about to lose. Your cursing will not affect me. But if I read scripture many times, the cursing comes back on the one doing it. And so the cursing you've been doing, you better stop it. It can come back on you. Not me, because it's not going to affect me. It's like one time, a guy told me he'd been hating me for 3 years. I said, you wasted a lot of good hate. I didn't even know you hated me for 3 years. You should have told me. I didn't even know it. I've been as happy as I could be without you knowing it. You wasted a lot of hate. Why? If God be for us, who can be against us? What situation that you face in life? I mean, really, if God be, I mean, if you sit down and look at your checkbook and you look at it and you say, well, my, this, and my God, oh Lord, I hope this is not a sign from heaven. I turn to red letters. But anyway, accounting, you know, in the black, in the red, red's bad. But anyway, and so you're looking at your checkbook, you're looking at what's going on, you say, how am I going to make it? Well, the checkbook can be against you. It can be against you. Financial circumstances can be against you, but they will not overcome you if you will put God's principles at work in your life and put God first in your life. You will win. You will win. God will be on your side. If God is for us, who can be against us? You got to come to that. If you're thinking the one that God's the one that did this to you, I have a very dear friend that I've known over the years and very, very intelligent man, big in the computer industry and that kind of stuff. And but he's a wonderful Christian man. And but his thinking has just changed so much in the last few years, he's unrecognizable. Because to him now, there's no such thing as you having a bad time in your life and that bad time not have come from God. To him, God sent the bad time, sent the trouble, sent the pain, sent the suffering, and he may get you through it or it might just be for his glory. And all of these things that he would say concerning that. But there's a lot of people with that kind of thing. They don't know if it's God or the devil doing what it is. Well, let me give you a good indicator. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes not but to do what? Steal, kill, destroy. If it involves stealing, killing, or destroying, destroying, killing, stealing, if it involves any of those, it ain't of God. Isn't that easy? Because the thief came to do that. But Jesus come to give you life and give it to you how? More abundantly, right? Somebody said, I got a new job. They offered me a new job with a bigger raise, a lot more benefits. Should I take it? Of course you should take it. What are you asking me for? Well, I don't know if it'd be the will of God or not. Well, is it the will of God being the job you're in? Well, I don't know that either. Well, if you don't know either way, take the one that makes more money. I mean, if you don't know either way, it's wild what people do in life. It is strange. But anyway, don't take it if it's sending you sin or anything like that. Don't take the low amount of money if it's sending you sin. Don't take either one of them. But so notice, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody can be against us. It won't matter. And people will rise up and they will yell and scream and holler and all this kind of stuff. The devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All those things are out there. It's a real deal. But if God be for us, then who can be against you? Nobody. 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 All right. Now then, Scripture says this, and you don't have to turn there, but Psalm 118, verse 6 says this. If the Lord is on my side, or the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Question mark. God's on my side. Not going to fear. Everybody say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not fear. Shall not fear. Everybody say, I don't walk in fear. Lord is my shepherd. Not walking in fear. Fear has power. Fear can come on you. You can get a bad word from this world, and it will literally change your blood pressure and change your heart rate and change your thinking in your mind. Fear is a spirit, and fear can come on you. Now, there are some reverent kind of fear, we would call it. I mean, you ought to be afraid to go out here and walk in the middle of the road, all right? Especially when we get out at lunchtime and the way some of y'all drive. But anyway, you ought to be afraid to go out here and stand in the middle of the road. I mean, that's the right kind of respect. That's a respectful fear. But to be afraid to get up or walk around at night or upset and all these kind of things in life, you don't need to fear those things. You know, God is your shepherd. There's nobody that you should fear. You shouldn't fear man. What man can do. What can men do some things? Yes, but we're not to fear what some of the things that man can do. Not going to walk in that fear. Going to walk in a healthy respect of the world we live in, but not to walk in fear of anything. Recognize the Lord is on our side. If he's on our side, there's no reason for us to fear. Now, let me show you something. Let me get you to a place I want you to be. Look at John chapter 8. To be an overcomer, to be more than a conqueror, you got to know God's on your side, of course. If you don't, you won't pray in faith. You'll always wonder. I mean, here's on a reality in the world of healing. For me, studying the Scripture, I see that God wills to heal everybody that's sick. I don't have one exception for nobody. I don't have an exception. And you say, well, but what about this, that, and then the other? I believe that most of the time. The problem in believing it most of the time is this. When you believe something most of the time, you're always wondering, well, is that that time? And the devil will bring that to you every time. This must be that time. Leon, I know you believe God 99% of the time, but this is the 1%. And the devil will slide that in on you. This is the one time that God don't want you at. This is the one time that God did lie in his word. I mean, you know, all those things the devil tried to say to you. But the thing we've got to realize is this. God is for us. We stand on that. But there's one trying to talk about that. Look at John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus mentions him. And in John 8, verse 44, he says, you are of your father the devil. The lust or desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar. And the father of it, the inventor of lies, the back of every lie, the beginning of all lies, production, is the one who produced the lie, is the father, the devil. The devil is the liar. He is the father of lies. Somebody say, the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. When adversaries come against you, when opposition stands up against you, when things in this world come against you and come against your life, you need to stand up and say, the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. I told somebody just about that just last week. They talked about an issue where they believe in God for healing. And they said, well, I did this and this and this. And in their particular case, it's changed now, though, thank God. But in their particular case then, they said, well, there's still some pain right there. What should I do about it? I said, tell the devil he's a liar. Well, what do you mean tell the devil he's a liar? Tell the devil he's a liar. What's he lying about? He's lying about the fact that Jesus said, by his stripes we are healed. That's what he's lying about. Yeah, but this. Yeah, but that. Yeah, but this. As long as you got the yeah, buts. Yeah, but this. Yeah, but that. Yeah, but this. Yeah, but that. As long as you got that, you're not going to exercise faith. And until you exercise faith, you're not going to receive the promise of the blessings of the Word of God. It's just that simple. One way that the devil gets us to stop receiving is he lies to us. Somebody say, the devil's a lie. I like it both ways. The devil's a liar. Not only that, he's a lie. The devil's a lie. Somebody say, the devil's a lie. When the devil said that you won't have health and wholeness and healing in your body, say, the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. When the devil says that you won't be blessed financially and prosperous, the devil's a liar. He's a liar. When the devil says your family's going to be split apart and all this stuff and you're going to have hatred and bitterness and strife in your family, the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. Whatever's coming against you, stand up. Recognize that. Now, here's the thing. The power of the devil's lie is this. If the devil came up to you and said to you, look, here's the deal. We want you to go to hell. We want you to spend all eternity in hell. We want you to be suffering in torment and pain for all eternity in hell. And the way we're going to get you there is we're going to get you to commit adultery. And then you're going to say, well, no, devil, I'm not doing that. Why? Because you don't want to go to hell. But what if the devil comes up to you and he says, you know, your husband or your wife really don't understand you. And that pretty little thing at work that you've been working around, they are so understanding. And wow, how, you know, you just feel so close when you're around them. And pay no attention that has a blue dress on or the devil with the blue dress on. Pay no attention to that. Not any of that. You know, the devil's trying to give himself away. But don't pay any attention to that. This is it. And God wants you to be happy. Don't you believe that? God wants you to be happy. And if you can't be happy with the one that you're with, or the one you got, then love the one you with. That's an old one too. Right now. And if loving you is wrong, you sure don't want to be right. You know, that's, I mean, the devil gets you singing all that. Before it be long, you'll be singing your way right into adultery. smiling all the way. Now, he didn't tell you about hell. He didn't tell you about where the Bible says whoremongers have their place in the lake of fire, Revelation 21, verse 8. He didn't tell you that. He didn't tell you where all liars end up in hell. He didn't tell you that. He said, it's okay, just a lie, it's all right. So, you know, commit adultery, all right, do all these things. That's what he told you. And why did he do that? Because he knew that if he told you to do something and you knew that there was a penalty and consequence and a price to pay, you'd never do it. So he lies. He lies to you. He goes further than lying. Look at Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, he makes an orchestrated attempt against you. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible says, the great dragon was cast out, middle of tribulation period, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. What did the devil do? He deceived. You know the difference in a lie and deception? A lie is somebody tells you something that's not true. It's not right. It's not accurate. It's not like they told you to be. But a deception is when you believe it in your heart that the lie is the truth. You've been deceived. When you now believe that the lie is the truth, you've been deceived. And that's what the devil wants to do. But the reason the devil does that he lies to us, and the reason that he deceives us, because his power against you and I is limited. He just can't make us do anything. Somebody say, the devil can't make me do anything. Say it like we say in South Carolina. Say, the devil can't make me do nothing. He can't make me do nothing. The devil can't make you do anything. Well, somebody said, reason I do it is because I'm weak. No, the reason you do it is you think you are weak because the devil lied to you and told you are weak, and that gave you the excuse to go ahead and do it. So you were right being made to do it by the devil anyway, so to speak. But the devil can't make you do anything until you accept his lies or enter into his deception. At the point that you accept his lies or you enter into his deception, at that point, the devil has gained the mastery in your life, as E.W. Kenyon likes to say it. He's gained the mastery in your life. But you don't have to allow the devil's lies to be truth to you. You don't have to be deceived. You can come out and believe the truth of the Word of God. You don't have to be. Let me give you the truth. Look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, Scripture tells us that we give thanks to the Father, which hath made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You are able to partake of the inheritance. Everything that you got through Christ Jesus on the cross, that God destined for you to have through the power of the atonement, all those things, Christ has made us able to be a partaker of those things. We are enabled to partake of the inheritance of the saints in light. What verse 13? Who delivered us from the power of the darkness? We've been delivered from the power of the devil. And that's why Jesus could say, the devil don't have any part or lot in me. There ain't no devil about this. Devil doesn't have any right in your life, no right in your body, no right in your mind, no right in your soul, your spirit, or anything about you. The devil has no right in your life. Amen? And some of us need to tell the devil that. Whether it be your home, whether it be where you work, or whether it be your family, whether it be with your children or your parents or your husband, your wife, you just need to tell the devil, get out. Get out. Somebody say, get out. Say this way, devil, get out. Jesus' name, get out. Don't allow the devil a place in your life. Give no place to the devil, the Bible says. Don't give him a place of operating. And one of the places that gets is through lying and deception. And that's why you need to be as truthful as you and I can be with our minds, our hearts, our spirit, and when we come to the Word of God and we see what the Word of God clearly says, stop arguing with it. Don't get mad about what the Bible says. It's amazing to me. It is so amazing to me that I've faced many, many religious people who will get mad when you say that God wants people well and God wants people prosperous. Get mad about it. Get completely mad. Why would that make you mad? I mean, would it make you mad if you said, how do you feel about your children? Well, I want them healthy. Well, what do you say? Healthy, wealthy, and wise. How about that? Sure. What's wrong with that? Any good parent would want their children to enjoy health and have wealth and have wisdom in their life. Nothing wrong in that. But somehow when we say that God wants us healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, you never know the mind of God or what God will do. Well, I think we do know the mind of God. And I don't know all the mind of God. I'm not foolish enough to say that to you. But I know a lot of what God said he would do. He said in his word. In fact, I know it like this. I know enough of what God has said would do in his word. Because he wrote this book, tell you and I how we ought to live. And so the thing is this, is don't listen to the lies. When the Bible tells us that I've been delivered from the power of darkness, when the Bible tells us that we are partakers of the inheritance of the saints of life, then start partaking. Start being part of that. Don't listen to the devil lie to you anymore. This last day that we live in, the Bible says in the book of Timothy, in this last day, the devil's going to send, or there'll be strong delusion coming from deceptive spirits, from fallen angels, from ungodly creation that's in this earth. Strong delusion is going to come. And we're seeing a bunch of it now. I mean, all you got to do is turn on the television or radio and you're seeing people's minds just warped, twisted. Absolutely nuts. You know, I make it a point not to click on a whole lot of things, but I did click on this one little thing. Miley Cyrus was being interviewed by one of these late-night talk show evangelists. Who are they? Well, you see them all the time. You probably know them. They're evangelists. Jimmy Kimmel, that's who it was. He's Evangelist Kimmel. I didn't know he's evangelist. He is, just for the wrong God, all right? And so she's being interviewed by him. And she said, she came on here to take back her apology. Said she had made apology, I don't know what it's about, several years ago about something, a foul mouth in which she had said something. And she come back and said, I want to take back my apologies. But all y'all need to understand is that when I said what I said, I shouldn't apologize for it. I should have been acclaimed for it, and you should have promoted me for it. Because it just showed that I just stood up for who I believe and what I believe in my life. Well, I'm not going to stand up for what you believe in your life if you're an idiot. If you're crazy, I'm not. Are we expected to do that? We have a little girl stand up there, cuss somebody out, and I'm supposed to applaud that? But she's in her, supposedly, right mind, think that she was right and all everybody else was wrong. What happened? That thinking in that world, and they all clap for her. A woman, an empowered woman that will stand up for herself, cuss us all out. But anyway, she's a empowered woman. People's minds are warped and twisted. People's minds are warped and twisted. Now, you know what? You got certain rights as an individual, but when you come in society and you come in a group, those rights need to be limited toward other folks. You don't just speak your whole mind and tell everybody everything in the world. I mean, you know, we have respect. We have considerations for people. But when people say you need to change all that understanding of rightful relationships and respect for one another, and whatever I say just is right, that's nuts. It's just nuts. And yet that's what we're being told. What is it? Lies and deception. Why is it that all these lies and deceptions are always on the side of the devil? And it's never that, hey, if somebody wants to stand up and bake cakes for anybody they want to and don't want to bake a cake for homosexual marriage, then don't have to that, that's all wrong. Right? That's their warped, twisted mind. As Shirley said the other day when we talked about it, why is it that people like darkness more than light? That's why they're in the darkness, because they love darkness and not the light. And that's what's going on, people. Their minds are darkened. Don't let their darkened mind become your darkened mind. Amen? Stay with the truth and stand strong and stand bold. Don't be ashamed of believing what right is. I mean, right is just right. And there's wrong out there that people are trying to make the right, and it's just not. But the devil is lying and deceiving. You will never overcome the devil until you know the devil is the devil. You're not overcoming your life when you're looking at problems. Say, maybe God brought this my way. Maybe God's doing this to me. I mean, you know, there's just crazy things out there in the world that are going on now. And so we need to really stay where God says we ought to be. And so Satan is limited in our lives. That's why he lies and deceives. Let that be empowering to you. If he lies to me and he tries to deceive me, why he's doing that is because he can't make me do it unless he gets my affirmation. He can't make me do it unless I agree. He can't make me do it unless I agree. Thus the lie. Thus the deception. It won't really kill you. It started back in the Garden of Eden. You can eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God just knows that when you do, you become like him. That's why he said not do it. And the devil's been lying ever since his first lie right up till now. And it's going to be a rude awakening. Going to be a rude awakening for this whole world, I'll tell you. With everybody where they're at today and some of their thinking, it's going to be incredible when we stand before a holy and a righteous God that demands that justice is only found in Christ Jesus and in his blood, and the people don't have it. It's going to be a terrible, terrible thing as we read scripture to fall into the hands of an angry God. Look with me one other place. Let me show you something else. There's a few other places we could look, but look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. In thinking about Paul's statement that he said about himself, one thing that we have to do in our life is this, is stop seeing ourselves. If you're going to be a conqueror, or you're going to be a winner, or you're going to be an overcomer, or more than a conqueror, to do that, you can't see yourself as a loser. As long as you see yourself as failing, and as long as you see yourself as losing, or as long as you see yourself as not achieving and not making it there in your life, as long as you see that stuff there, that's what you're going to fulfill in your life. That's the way you're going to live. You've got to have what I call from Scripture a Bible picture of yourself. You've got to see yourself through the mirror of the Word, that when you look at yourself, you don't necessarily see yourself, but what you see is coming from the Word of God. I told Sheila the other day, I was talking to her, sometimes, you know, our own images or ourselves are not correct. We need a Bible image. I was talking to Sheila the other day, and I said, how come it is that when I look at myself in the mirror, I got all kind of hair, but when I take pictures of myself, it don't show up? She told me, and she was talking about that, and I said, you know, and strange thing is, and I said something about gray hair, you know, and I said, well, you know, I don't think I need to do anything with gray hair. She said, well, you got a few hair in your head there, Leon. You might sort of take care of them. I said, Sheila, you told me I didn't have any gray hair in my head. And she said, that was last year, Leon. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, Lord, I don't receive it. Oh, Lord. Everybody said, that was last year. You got to check up on yourself every year, don't you? Oh, Lord, help us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Here's what the Bible says, and Paul wrote it. He said, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. How many have been made the righteous of God in him? Say amen. How do we do that? Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, through what he did for us, and he took on our sins so that we don't have to bear them. He was the sin bearer for us. He literally became sin for us. And because of that, we have become the righteousness of God in him. The problem is the devil lies to people about that. Devil lies. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Chapter 7. Now remember this Paul who we're talking about. Paul is a man who persecuted Christians. It'd be fair to say that he hated Christians. He was a man that spent all of his life, didn't even marry, spent all of his life and all that he was devoted fully to killing Christians. When Stephen was stoned in the 7th chapter of Acts, Scripture tells us that when they stoned him, that they laid his coat down at the feet of the Apostle Paul. In other words, Paul was the one that brought letters of authority for the stoning of this Christian Stephen for preaching Jesus Christ and the way, as they called it that day. Paul was into this stuff. I mean, if he could destroy and tear up and raise havoc to the Christian church, Saul, later called Paul, Saul was into this stuff. That's what he's going to do. Now, don't you know that that's playing in his mind, so to speak, now, naturally. Playing in his mind and is there. Some of us come to situations like that in our life. We look at our failures in life. Has anybody ever failed in life? Quick amen. No more than, all right, don't think about that much more. But I have. I have. I failed a time or two, maybe a little more than that. I don't know. I don't like to remember. But I have. How many's ever messed up in life? I have. I have. How many's ever did it wrong? You have it. How many's ever did it wrong in life? I have. How many's ever sin slipped up in sin? I have. Who's ever sinned on purpose? I have. Have you? Oh my goodness. Sergeant John just lifted his hand. Oh my goodness. When a man, a sergeant, listening, in, oh, Lord, that's humility. Well, sure we have. All of us have. Every one of us have. I've done stuff that I don't ever talk about. I've done stuff I don't want to hear nobody else talk about. I've done stuff I am so ashamed of. I am so sorry for it. I could sit down here and cry the blues all day long if I wanted. All of us have. All of us. But somehow, when Christ hath redeemed me, and he became that sin for me, he had made me the righteous of God, and I don't ever think about those things. In my mind, I got a full head of hair. But anyway, I don't ever, none of it's gray either. I don't ever think about those things. Could I? Do I know they're there? Yeah, I'm damn gone nuts and crazy that I just don't whatever anymore. I know what happened, what I did, what was there. I understand that. But I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to think on it. I'm not going to remember it. I'm not going to rehearse it. It is not going to be the defining points of my life. It is not. It is not. And what we have to do is this. If you're going to be a conqueror, you can't walk into that arena of battle that you're walking into before the devil. And when you come before him, all of a sudden, everything you've ever done in your life that was wrong and bad and crazy and nuts all hits you. It will weaken you. And it will tear you down to where you will not be able to face your adversary. To be more than a conqueror, you have to not see yourself like you were. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about 9, 10, 11, 12 on through there. It talks about all these kind of terrible sins. And he says, and such were some of you. Not still are. Such were some of you. But you've been washed. You've been cleansed. You've been purged. And that picture in our mind has to be stronger than any other picture in our mind. Of not who I was or how, you know, the rat I was. Not that. But I have to look at myself as who God has made me to be. Who I am now in Christ Jesus. Who I am now in Christ Jesus. So then, this same Paul that had killed Christians. I mean, I don't know. Fair to say, I don't think probably anyone in here has done that. I hurt some Christians. Might have been cruel to some Christians when we were sinful. I cussed some of them. And I don't know what we might have did. But I don't know that any one of us would have done, but Paul did. And so if you want to give levels of sin in the natural out there, he's got a big, pretty level right here that he'd have to deal with. That's why sometimes we see in the book of Philippians, Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind. Forgetting those things behind. Forgetting those things. Paul knew what he's talking about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, here's what he said. Receive us. We have wronged no man. Now, you know, you can hear the whole religious church stand up and say, what? In fact, when Saul, who became Paul, changed his name, when he first gets saved and he comes back to the church at Jerusalem, they don't know nobody want to let him in. And Barnabas brings him up and says, you need to get out of here with your buddy there. We've heard about him. We're not going to let him in. And in fact, when you study it out through Galatians, what you find out, he went into the wilderness, received a revelation of God for 3 years before he finally got into the church. Wow, they knew all this stuff, but you've been killing people. Some of them could have stood up and said, he was responsible for killing my brother. Others could have said, he's responsible for this, and you know, it was my cousin that got 40 lashes because of this man, Paul. I mean, there's all this stuff is out there. He's worked diligently for the church. But yet he stands up and 2 Corinthians 7:2 says, receive us, we've wronged no man. Do you know what? He's not looking at the same picture they're looking at. He's not looking at the same picture. He's looking at the picture that Jesus has painted of his life. That's the picture he is looking at. And some of us need to, old-fashioned, I know, change channels in our mind. Whichever you're going to do it. Now you got voice remote. Change channel. Someone need to change channels in our mind of the picture you're looking at yourself. Because you won't ever be an overcomer. You won't be more than a conqueror as long as you're still looking at a defeated picture of yourself. Notice what he says. He said, receive us, we've wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. Yet, before he's saved, he's done all those things. Every one of those. Before he's saved, he's done all those things. But since he come to Jesus, he's done none of those things. And that's the same way be true with you and I. You want to become more than conqueror? Settle it in your mind. Because the conqueror, it's not always the guy that runs the race the fastest, Solomon tells us. It's not the guy that doesn't go to the swiftest. It's not the most powerful. But it's that person in their mind that has changed. It's that person in his thinking that's changed. I mean, it is amazing. It is amazing. You can do something with attitude in your life and have the right attitude as a performer, even in sports or different things that you do, and you have the right attitude. It makes all the difference in the things you do, and even though you do the same things. It is amazing things to see it. Confidence, we call it. In sport, you need confidence. Not your ability that's lacking, it's your confidence. Well, how's your confidence lacking? Because you still see an old picture of yourself. Stop looking at the old pictures of yourself. Start looking at the pictures that Jesus made you. And what he has made you, according to what Paul has said to you, he has made you more than a conqueror. Somebody say, I'm more than a conqueror. Say it again. You are more than a conqueror. Amen? Somebody say, I'm more than a conqueror. Say this. I receive it. I'm more than a conqueror. Stand up with me this morning. More than a conqueror for any situation, every circumstance. In fact, not only are we more than a conqueror, but there is no weapon that is formed against us that shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against us, we shall condemn in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stretch your hands toward the heavens. Say, thank you, Father, for what you've made me, for what you've done in my life. I go away from my past. I go away from all that I was, used to be, no more. And now I am found in Christ Jesus by the blood of Jesus, by his forgiveness, his power, his righteousness. Therefore, I am more than a conqueror, ready for every circumstance, any situation. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. I always triumph in every circumstance. In the mighty name of Jesus. Say it again, in the mighty name of Jesus, more than a conqueror. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Turn to the person beside you and tell them, say, you are more than a conqueror.